صاحب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you for our next session, which is the question and answer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with afiyat and benefit. Mufti sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti sahab, a sister is asking, what dua can I read to get a good proposal, Mufti sahab?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It is every parent's great concern, especially regarding their children and daughters. This is a wonderful saying in Arabic, is not a hadith, it's a proverb. Hammul banat ilal mamat. Hammul banat ilal mamat. So every parent, grandparent is worried about their daughters and granddaughters. And this worry continues till death, you see. So you, my brothers, sisters, who are not married, you're already 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. So you should be reading 2 rakat salat daily. If you wake up tahajjud time, otherwise ishraq time, 15 minutes after sunrise, after zuhr, after maghrib, after isha. So after zuhr, after maghrib, after isha, any time that is convenient for you, read and perform 2 rakat salat. And by heart this verse there, Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion. And verse number 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Open the 19th supara, the first quarter, by the ending you will find it. Oh beloved Allah, grant us such wonderful spouses and children and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes. This is what you must read, O son or daughter, who are not married, you are married, or you are an old timer like us, 30, 40, 50 years you married. So keep on reading this verse. You parents, what should you read? You dada, dadi, nana, nani, grandparents. You worried about your children, grandchildren. So remember the same surah you should read. And that is Surah 25. Suratul Furqan, the criterion, and verse 54. For the children, verse 74. And for you parents, grandparents, verse 54. Surah Furqan, the criterion. What is the verse? وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. He Almighty Allah created you, O human being, the masterpiece from that semen and sperm. And then, فَجَعَلَهُ نَصَبًا. He gave us our beloved parents, our biological parents. And then we reached 18, 20, 24, 25, we got married, wasihira, and in-laws. So you see, so that is Almighty Allah teaching us. So read it, give out charity daily, never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. And inshallah, you'll get married day in Pakistan. One famous Maulana, 92 years old, he just got married again. Yes, Allah's old, but they cotony. They're old, but they're not cold. I think they're using a lot of, you understand, some Hakim medicine and so forth and so on to be firing on all cylinders, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab, can a lady with istihaza read her tahajjud, fajr and wazifas with the same wuzu?
Not permissible. Ijma'an, that fajr salat will not be valid. You woke up, let's make this a case study. You woke up 3 o'clock this morning. After relieving yourself, you went to perform wudu ablution. And thereafter, you must remember that you read tahajjud, you made dua. So excellent till there. Then when the fajr time started, and that subah kadhib finished, subah sadiq started, the true dawn and fajr time started, so that wudu is broken for the ma'zureen and ma'zurat. The women who are in istihaza, they are bleeding, leaking, you see. Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah, the genius and giant on hadith, Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, used to say, لَمْ يُولَدْ مِثْلَهُ بَعْدَهُ. You'll never find Ibn Hajar. It's the truth. A giant he was. Today you hear the jutlas, haramis, murderers, rapers. So that they are the ones you must remember saying Ashkelon. Ashkelon is right next to Gaza. And Imam Shafi used to say, Ana min Ghazza wa ana min Asqalan. In Arabic, Asqalan. The Jutlas, they stole our properties, land, and changed the names. So remember Ibn Hajar rahimahullah in his Fathul Bari, greatest, one of the greatest commentaries on Bukhari Sharif. He mentioned there were 13 women who suffered from this illness, that is of istihada, bleeding, leaking most of the time, all the time like that. So you are ma'zura. The men, they have salasul bowl, the urine drops and droplets, so they got plumbing problems. So in a case like that, for Fajr time, now, yeah, by us today, they in Joburg. So 4 o'clock Fajr time started, right? And by you, maybe 3:40, 3:45, I'm not sure 100%, but it's around that time there. So once the Fajr time starts, so you must remember that, then you will say you must perform another wudu. For us ordinary people, with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, we don't have these problems. So with tahajjud, we read Fajr Salat, totally perfect. But for ma'azureen, those women who are mustahada, you have istihada, that you're bleeding most of the time, all the time, or the men, you have the droplet urine problem. So then when Fajr time starts, then you have to make a fresh wudu. Then only will be your Fajr Salat valid. If you, my sister, this morning, 3 o'clock you perform wudu, 4 tahajjud, and then you read tahajjud, you made dua, excellent. And then with that same wudu, you read your Fajr Salat, but your state and condition is of istihada, so we call you mustahada, then that Fajr Salat is null and void, and you have to repeat it. So you must remember all these issues. And similarly, Maghrib time, you sisters, brothers, you need to be circumspect and careful. You just make wudu before sunset, and then you read Maghrib Salat. The Salat is null and void. You have to wait for sunset to take place. When you are 100% sure Maghrib time has started, then you perform your wudu. Easy way for you, when Maghrib Azan starts, then you must go and perform your ablution and wudu. Then your Salat is valid. So minimum 5 times a day you will have to make wudu. And that is for every first Salat. And then you read it, but this is only for the ma'zureen and ma'zurat, those who have these problems of istihada and salasul bowl, urine dropping and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahab, I'm from Ladysmith, but I've moved and now live in Johannesburg since marriage. When I visit my parents' home in Ladysmith, I will now read Qasr as I am no longer living in that town. Is this correct?
100% correct. You're living in Ladysmith, so you must be knowing our Mawlana Salim Karim and his family, Hafizahumullah Abba, very well. So one day I was there in Ladysmith and I really chuckled, you see. NKR. Now that also they're removing there in Natal, you see. I used to go to Umslanga and I meet my brother Zakir and this one and that one. So I got his name Zakir Noor, you see that? Because why? N for Natal. And you are Umslanga rocks, you see. But now no more Noor, it's all now KZ or ZN, whatever it is. So that is what is written in your people's number plates. So one day there in a masjid, in Ladysmith, they got the NKR, no kitab reading. You see that? But I'm sure they removed it by now. So anyway, you must remember, so you were born and bred there in Ladysmith. And then you got married there in Johannesburg. So now your home is Johannesburg, mashallah. So you go on a Friday, come back on a Sunday or whatever you, to visit your beloved parents. So your Salat there, remember, is all Qasr Salat. Because you are the lady and you're going to read on your own. So Fajr, you read 2 and 2. Zohar, you read 2. And Asr, you read 2. Maghrib, you read 3. And Isha, you read 2 and 3. You must read your Witr, even though you're a Musafir and traveler. According to the Hanafis, according to Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, if you are a traveler, then your Witr Salat, if you read it, is good. But if you don't perform it, then there will be no sin upon you whilst you are a Musafir. So whether you're a male or female, you relocated from your place where you were born and bred. And now you made intention, you're going to stay there the remainder of your life. So when you go to that place there, like me, Heidelberg, so now from Newcastle is to come, you must remember, I no more consider Heidelberg as my original hometown now. Because now 25 years with Allah's help, we are here in Lanesha. So now, if you pass, I'm going to Heidelberg, from Heidelberg to Newcastle and so forth. So then when I pass Heidelberg, I'm Musafir. You see that? So that is how it will work. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for all of us. Gee.
Three on a 55-year-old woman who got divorced.
So remember, if a lady has been divorced one talaq or two talaq or three talaq, and she's 55 years old or 75 years old, so that will still be compulsory. So if she is receiving her menses, then remember Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter number 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 228, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Then three menses will be her iddat. And that is, you must remember, that according to Hanafis and Hanbalis, according to the Malikis and Shafis, three periods of cleanliness, and then the iddat will expire. If she's already in menopause because she's 55, 60 years old, then Quran Kareem states that their iddat will be thalathatu ashhur. From the date of talaq and divorce, she must count 90 days, and then the iddat will finish. So 90 days is for ladies who are in menopause. And if the lady was pregnant and the husband issued the talaq, then Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 65, verse number 4, 654. Chapter 65, Surah Talaq, the chapter regarding divorce, and verse 4. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَنْ يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. When you give birth, my sister, my daughter, so whether it's after 1 week, 1 month, or 8 months, so then your iddat will expire. So we should know the different scenarios as well.
Mufti Saab, my husband has given me one talaq raj'i. Can I live in the same house? Can I beautify myself for him?
100%, when your husband gave you one talaq raj'i, a revocable divorce, so you should seduce him. Put the best fragrance, put the best clothing on, put the best lingerie on. If he's half a sleepy Joe, he must wake up, you see that? And then, mashallah, then you reconcile with him in the iddat. وَبُؤُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. So now you reconcile without tajdeed and nikah, without performing a new nikah, whilst you are still in the iddat period and during the iddat. And I told you the three menses according to Hanafis, Hanbalis, or three periods of cleanliness according to the Shafi'is, Malikis. So you should do that, and once you reconcile, he tells you, oh my poppy, let me kiss you. You embrace him and all that, and he tells you, I'm taking you back, so finish. And that one talaq will remain, and he'll only have two talaq, two divorces left for the future. So you must seduce him when you're alone with him and so forth. Tell him, what you for looking here and there? Look at me. See how smart I am for you. Cook his best food he likes and so forth and so on. And give him some nice khajur and some cashew nuts and all that. And he will, don't give him too much coconuts. Then he'll go nuts also, you see that. So inshallah, then and always make dua to Allah. Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Allahumma aslih zaata baynina. Ya Allah, you are the creator of love. Create the love between us and establish it for always. And Ya Allah, all our misunderstandings, our ups and downs and so forth, may tutu. I say, you say. Ya Allah, bring it into Islah and bring about reform within us, within our hearts also. So read all that and inshallah, Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. So Allah Ta'ala will unite your bodies and your hearts through His grace, mercy and benevolence.
Mufti Sahab, what is the current Mahari Fatimi? If a person cannot afford the current Mahari Fatimi, can he give below that amount?
The current Mahari Fatimi is 41,000 rand. Why we call it Mahre Fatimi? If you study Siratul Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak biography, you will find that the Master alayhi salam also gave the same amount to his honorable wives and so forth. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala married Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha when she was 15 years old and 5 months, 15 and a half years, we can say. And Mustafa rahmatullil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed and solemnized the nikah, the marriage ceremony. And the mahar was paid. So now it's 41,000 rain, our current setup and so forth. So you can give that amount in cash or in clothing or kind or whatever you, or you merge it, some cash and some kind and so forth. And you can't afford it, the minimum mahar according to Hanafis is 1,000 rand. And according to the Malikis, 350 rand. And according to the Shafis, Hanbalis, there's no minimum stipulated mahar. So whatever, mahar is something you must negotiate with your bride. The lady who is going to become your wife, you must ask her, they'd ask her father and so forth, how much mahar does she want? So she will tell you, and she can't be crazy also, and tell you, I want a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. You want all that, go join the ANC. So you must remember that, you see in the Arab countries, that this is a big problem they are facing. That now they tell them 1 million riyals, 5 million riyals. Now who the hell got that amount of money? So then you find some of the men now going to their own, that homosexuality. And the women, because they're bursting with their energy and their sexuality and their womb's fancies and desires, then you find lesbianism and all that flourishing. So this is a unintended consequences when we are crazy, you know, because the father wants to take a certain amount, then the mother wants to take a certain amount, and then the daughter takes a certain, like this non-Muslim, they have labola, you must give so many cows here, so many cows here, all that is haram in Islam. So remember, the mahar is for the wife, and she becomes the exclusive owner. You don't have to give anything, your father-in-law, mother-in-law. If you give, it is just the barru ihsan, from the generosity of your heart. But they can't be demanding, you taking our daughter, you must give us so and so. All that is haram, and there's no place for that in Islam.
Mufti Sahib, when I got married, my mahar was deferred. My husband passed away, and he did not pay me my mahar. Can I claim it from the estate?
100%. You must remember that Allah grant your husband Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. So when he passed away, so the first thing is burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. And second is debts, personal debts, business, corporate debts. So that is where you claim that this husband owed me 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. He didn't pay me. And so now I'm making my claim. 100%, you must take it from the estate. And none of the heirs or anybody can object on it. And on the other side, you ladies also need to wake up a little bit and see when the husband say the mahar translation, you mustn't translate it as dowry, and that got Christian connotation. You must translate it as a marital matrimonial gift. That is what the Quranic terminology is. وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً نِحْلَةً gift. So now the matrimonial, marital gift you are giving your wife. So when the husband says, oh my poppy, oh my darling, oh my jalebi, I won't pay you mahar now, I'll pay you after 3 months, 6 months, you must say no problem. But for 3 months, 6 months, mamnu'ud dukhul. You are not going to consummate this marriage with me because you have not paid. No pay, no play. So you have all the right to do that also. You mustn't fall in the trap of the men. Sometimes of them are sweet talkers. They have the gift of the gab, you see. They know how to talk and that. And then they fool the public and they fool the women as well. So you mustn't fall in this trap there. You must tell him, النَّقْدُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّسِيَةِ. Cash is better than credit. Cash is king. Tell him, pay now, papa. And then we talk, you see that. So that is the best you must remember.
Mufti Sahib, if no limbs were formed and miscarriage took place, will it be classified as nifaq or istihaza?
Remember that if a lady was pregnant and then she had a miscarriage, so you'll need to understand all these three different scenarios. if lumps were formed and everything, and then you had a miscarriage, now you are bleeding, obviously, from your private part and so forth, so then that will be considered as nifas, the postnatal. Maximum days, 40 days, Hanafis, Hanbalis. Maximum days for the postpartum, postnatal, 60 days. That is Shafi'is and Malikis. So that is a Suratul Ula, the first scenario. Second scenario, remember that this woman had that miscarriage, maybe just after a few weeks of gestation, pregnancy, and no lumps were formed. Now, if the bleeding from the private part continues, so then remember that will be considered as a haiz, as a menses, and so forth. Hanafis will say if it continued for 3 days and more, so remember minimum 3 days, maximum 10 days, so that is menses. And according to the Shafis and them, minimum 1 day and maximum 15 days, so that bleeding now, especially if it is dark red and blackish and so forth, so it will be menses. And if the lady no lumps form and there was bleeding, but just for a few, you understand, minutes or 1-2 hours, and then it stopped and so forth, so then you will call it istihada. So you, my mother's sisters, these issues you'll need to know properly. Don't confuse, and don't go ask the appas. Appas will just confuse you more and blow your fuses also. So you must remember that these are the masailun nisa. They are very difficult to understand, and you have to read all the mutawwalat. You have to read the long, big books to understand all these masail.
I want to find out, is it permissible for a divorcee to make nikah without her family knowing?
You see, my brother, my sister, how we say La ilaha illallah. That lam in Arabic jargon, you call it lam linafiyil jins. Meaning, we don't worship anybody, none at all. Illallah, except Almighty Allah. So you are explaining to a non-Muslim, Jew, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So you will tell him or her, the Arabic tafsir commentary of it is La ma'abuda bihaqtin illallah, which means there is no God, small g, Illallahu, except Almighty Allah, capital G. He is the only one worthy of worship. All these idols, demigods, semigods, you got, they can't be. You give them a varma clap, you give them a good smack, what they can do? The birds come and urinate, defecate on them, what they can do? Nothing. So they can't help themselves. How the hell are they going to help you? So that is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So that is what we need to understand, that when we are making somebody a Muslim and so forth and so on. So what was the actual question there, Mohammed Salim?
Mufti Sahib, as a divorcee, can I make nikah without the family knowing?
Right. So now, this we call Nazir, Al-Ashbah wal-Nazair, written by Ibn Nujaym for the Hanafi school, and Al-Ashbah wal-Nazair written for the Shafi'is by Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti. Both books are masterpiece, you see that. So let's go. So I gave you an example there. La ilaha illallah. Then obviously Muhammadur Rasulullah. So Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi and mentioned in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, various compilations. La nikaha illa bi waliyin. That nikah is null and void unless the consent is given by the guardian, your biological father, or your biological dada, your paternal grandfather, or by your am, by your chacha, your kaka, your paternal uncle, pastor, bror. So then that nikah will be valid. Now you are a divorcee and you met some character and now he told you, no. I found out from the Maulana and Mufti Sahib and Qadi Sahib, you don't need permission because you divorcee, you become my second wife and I'll use you as a spare wheel. Every week, once a week, we'll meet in the hotel and then I'll give you a quickie and then you go your way. You see that? All haram business this. So remember, Islam don't allow all this. People will just meet up there and the parking lot and all that. He will sit in front, the lady there in front with him. They'll catch two witnesses, one from Pakistan and one from India, pay them some money, and then say our nikah is done. The whole thing will become a joke. You must remember that. It's haram, these things here. People don't even understand the Hanafi mazhab on this issue. So Hanafi fatwa, go read Imdadul Muftin, page 551, by Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah. Agar Hanafi larki akila baligha ho, aur nikah ki, baghair walid sahab ki ijazat ki, to kya ye nikah basahi hai? That was the question, I just paraphrased it. That she got married without the father's permission. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib wrote that if she got married in ghair kuf, in someone not compatible, suitable for her, then that nikah is batil, is null and void and not permissible. So that is the Hanafi school, not what people tell you and so forth. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan and India there, they opened and all that when he was there. Go read his whole life history, Mere Malid Majid Sahib by Mufti Rafi Usmani. Excellent book it is.
Mufti Sahib, what do we do when people justify that they can say Happy Diwali and Merry Christmas? I want to ask them which alim said this can be done.
So remember the people who promote these type of things, Naqsha alayhimul kufr. We don't say they are murtad already, but we will say we fear they will become murtad. They will have to answer all these Quranic verses and Quran and Sunnah Mubarakah and Fatwa of Sahaba. Take, I give you. Chapter number 5, verse 51. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattakhidhul yahuda wal nasara awliya. Oh, you who ye got iman, do not take the Jews and Christians to be your friends and protectors. Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd. They are the friends and protectors of one another. This Gaza war has shown us so many lessons. And one lesson is this. Who are our real friends and who are our enemies, you see? So the Saudi regime, Najdi, Wahhabi, Kafir regime, they showed their true colors and so forth and so on. So there Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ مِنْهُمْ. Who befriends them, the Christian Jews, and them you become part and parcel of them. So that is for Jews and Christians. Then go to Surah Anfal, chapter number 8 and verse number 73. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. So whether it's Hindu, whether it's Buddhist, whether it's who and who in the zoo, so they're all the same. They're all the friends and protectors of one another, all the kuffar. Chapter number 8, Surah Anfal, the booty, and verse number 73. So Allah has mentioned. Now you want to celebrate Diwali, you want to wish them well, you want to eat their gifts and all that, which they dedicated to their idols. Christmas is coming, you want to make happy, happy, happy Christmas. But it's not even the date when Jesus was born and so forth. New Year will come, you say happy, happy New Year, and all haram, all these things. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith authentic in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum. When you imitate the people, you become part and parcel of them. Second hadith in Musnad Abi Awana, sahih hadith. Man kassara sawada qawmin fawa minhum. When you increase the numbers of a people, you will check the lights and all that. So you imitating them, increasing, you become part and parcel of them. And a dalilun bayyin, a clear-cut dalil, the fatwa of Amirul Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu warda mentioned in Bayhaqi, ijtanibu a'da Allahi fi eedihim. So stay far, far away from the enemies of Allah during their festivals and their celebrations and so forth. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote the whole book on this which I have, Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim li mukhalafati ashab al-jahim. You, that Maulvi, must be a moron, you understand, who told them it's permissible. So you must remember, go celebrate and do all these things there. So remember that in a case like that, that we totally reject it, whoever it is, you must remember. Allah give us tawfiq. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.